I know there's so many things we can say because we're just so full of gratitude, you know, for what the Lord has done. And you know it's authentic when, right? The fruit of your life, it bears evidence. You know, faith has substance and it has evidence. And our God is a God of miracles, of the impossible. He said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And so it bears witness to the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. And when he ascended on high, it says he gave gifts unto men. And he's bestowed upon his church, amen, these gifts. And God wants us to actually earnestly desire his gifts. Okay, it's not an option. He says, I want you to receive what I have for you for the mission that I have assigned to you. Amen. We are to bear witness to Jesus who is risen and has overcome death. Amen. Conquered death in the grave. Hallelujah. We get to be a part of what he's doing. We get to do what we do. Amen. Father, I just thank you today for the body of Christ, Lord, and for this body and how you are working in our hearts and lives and bringing change, Lord, transformation. Lord, you're renewing minds. You're restoring souls. You're healing brokenness, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We don't deserve it. But because of your great love, because of who you are, that you demonstrate your love. And the greatest miracle of all was the demonstration of your love on the cross. For without that, none of this would be possible. We would still be in our sins. We would still be without hope. But because you were willing to die in our place, today we can rejoice in hope because of what you've done. We serve you, Lord, because we love you. And you have given life to us. There's a song that we used to sing called Heartache, Broken Pieces. Ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Lord, we thank you so much. Your love is what I've hoped for. You know, we've been all in a search for love, authentic love. You know, not the touchy-feely, fake love, you know, or the conditional love of the world that you do for me, I'll do for you. But the love of God that exceeds all other loves. Amen. That God willing to die in our place, pay the punishment that we deserve to pay. And for that, we should be eternally grateful and we should commit our lives back to him. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Hallelujah. Title of the message today is God Chooses Flawed Vessels. Now, don't look at me that way. God chooses flawed vessels. Because if he didn't, none of us would be of any use. Okay? Now, that's not a justification for bad behavior. God deals with that part of us. Amen? But he'll choose us if our heart is in the right place. And he does look at the heart, does he not? You know, sometimes we get this idea that we have to work out all the gigs in our lives before we can come to God and be accepted by him and receive what he has for us or what we need from him. You ever feel that way? Well, I still got a lot of gigs I got to work out before God would even listen to me or receive me or give me what I need or answer my prayer. How many know that you're going to live your entire life, amen, wondering if God ever hears you, if that's what you're basing your relationship on? Upon your performance and how well you do. You see, it is by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves, right? That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, grace requires responsibility, right? We behave ourselves because we love Jesus, because we want to honor Jesus. Jesus said, those who love me will what? Obey me. Amen. But God judges man according to the heart, as you know. And so even though a person may be rough around the edges, quit looking at me that way, God sees the heart of the one who desires to know him. And the heart that seeks him will be richly rewarded with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. God's plan is to take a flawed vessel, amen, and to mold it into something beautiful. He can make something beautiful out of a mess, amen? He can take an old broken clay jar, amen, and make it into a vessel of honor, amen, that can contain his glory and that can be used, amen, useful to the master. We get to be a part of what he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many know this? Yes. Read it with me. For they shall be filled. All right. So question is, what righteousness is he referring to here? Because Jesus said in verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds, everybody say exceeds, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So what did he mean by this? I remember as a new believer looking at that and thinking, how does my righteousness exceed that of these holy men? At least externally, many of them lived a pretty clean, moral, upright life. Externally, yeah. As when man would look at them and say, now that's a man of God, you know. And yet God sees beyond the surface of things, and he sees the heart. And he knew that within them there was corruption, amen. And so God came to transform or change the heart of man. And when the heart changes, so does the life. So the righteousness he's talking about is not the self-righteousness of people. All right, we can all have our own standard of righteousness. Well, to me, being righteous means this. Well, God's righteousness, amen, is imputed righteousness. It's given righteousness. It is the gift of God that he gives us his righteousness. And that righteousness is Christ in us, who is our righteousness. The only way I can stand before God is by the power of the blood of Christ that covers me and qualifies me for his presence. I am not righteous enough in myself to merit God's presence. Can you say amen? And people need to understand that, because many people, they trust in their own righteousness to be right with God, and yet no one will be justified by the works of the law, by human effort. We're only justified freely through the grace which is in Christ Jesus, that is imputed righteousness. And when you receive the mercy, the forgiveness of God, when you receive the grace of God, it changes your heart. And now you desire to do the things that please God. Come on. And so you don't have to fake anything. You can just be a believer now. A hypocrite is an actor, but a true Christian, amen, is one who is, because they are the planning of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit dwells within them and their life reflects the fruit of God's Spirit. It's not of me. It's not of us. It's of him. So we give God the glory, we give God the praise for anything that he's done for us and anything that he does through us, understanding that it's not of me, but it's of him, and I'm simply a vessel. But God wants to take a broken vessel, a flawed vessel, and he wants to reform it. Come on. There's a reformation taking place, amen, in our minds. We're having an attitude adjustment, amen. Jesus was saying that man's righteousness is insufficient to gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so many who are caught up in the religion or the religious spirit, amen, they are not aware of this. They are trying in themselves to do enough good to merit God's favor. All right. So somehow they can earn enough credit to get into heaven. And people that live like that live bound always because they know that within themselves, they actually do not have the qualifications. All right. To be able to come to heaven or go into heaven. Jesus is the one who qualifies us. Jesus is the one who allows us to have access to him. Amen. To the Father's throne through his blood. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We have to turn away from ourselves and turn to him. Amen. Who alone has immortality. Who alone can save us. So this is the only righteousness that God accepts, and that is the righteousness that he imputes or gives to those who repent of their sins and receive Jesus by faith. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, which was pointing to Christ, being the fulfillment of everything that had been written. He was the word that was made flesh. Amen. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ and to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Of course, where there is true faith in Christ, there will be righteous actions. Can you say amen? There will be good fruit. There will be good works where there is true faith in the Lord. So we cannot come to God based, this is important, upon our own righteousness. Because if we do, we'll only have faith to believe God hears us when we're doing well. But as soon as we slip up, we have a bad thought or something happens. Okay, now we're condemned again, all right? Because our faith is not in the blood of Christ, but in self. And God wants us to be free from ourselves, all right? So that we can rely upon his grace, his ability, his power to live a holy life in this world. God chooses to use flawed human vessels. That means you and I. Amen. Well, one of these days, when I reach that point of perfection, then I'll be ready to serve God. Well, guess what? You're just not going to do it. Amen. You need to trust in the blood of Christ and not yourself. Amen. It's because of the blood of Christ that we can now serve the Lord acceptably. Amen. And again, when our hearts are changed, your desire changes and you want to do the things that please the Lord. And because the Holy Spirit is in you and that law is written on your heart, now you have that thing called conviction when you get out of step with the Spirit. Come on. Amen. Aren't you glad for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he pricks us and says, get back in line. You're getting out of order here. Amen. And God disciplines those he loves. 1 Corinthians 1:26, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. We got to come to the place where we realize it ain't about us anymore. Amen? It's not because of who I am. It's who he is and who he is in me. And my responsibility is to cooperate with him, walk with him, trust him for the grace that I need every day to live the life I'm called to. Amen. That I'll be a reflection of the Lord in this world. So what is God looking for in a vessel? Is he looking for perfection? No, God is looking for humble, hungry, willing, imperfect vessels to display his power and love through. God is looking for humble, hungry, willing, imperfect vessels to display his power and love through. Come on, he's not looking for superstars or Christian celebrities. I know I should get my teeth polished and maybe get some plastic hair or something. I don't know, but please spare us, right? Yes. Nothing wrong with looking good, all right, but maybe it needs a little work in that area. But God looks at the heart, and this is the thing. You see, God desires, hear me, to be desired. He desires to be desired. He will show up where he's wanted, where he's welcomed. And the hungry heart will be filled. The hungry heart will be satisfied. And the hungry heart is the one who's no longer filling up on the garbage of the world, but they have now made the Lord himself their delight. And they delight in him. And he satisfies the deepest longing of their heart. And they delight in him, and therefore he delights in the one who delights in him. Those who are hungry for God are those who have lost their appetite for worldly things. In Genesis 25, we read about two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Have you heard them? Genesis 25, 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom because of the color of the stew. The lentil stew was like reddish. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is that birthright to me? And then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, Jacob means, his name means heel catcher or supplanter. Supplanter is someone taking the place of another through force, scheming, or strategy. In other words, Jacob was a con man. All right? Yet God said this about Jacob. Hear this, Romans 9:13. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, what he's talking about is two different heart attitudes here. One who highly esteemed the things of God and one who despised them. One who was earthly minded versus one who was heavenly minded. One who had put all his ducks in this row, if you will, and the other one who really had a heavenly perspective on their life in this world. God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for him whose heart is loyal to him. God desires to be desired. And he will show up where he is welcome. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Desperation. Amen. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, Lord. Amen. How could God love someone like Jacob? Well, I guess I could ask the question, how could God love somebody like me? Amen. You want to know why? Because God could see past his outward behavior and see into his heart. What was it that attracted God to Jacob? It was the fact that Jacob was attracted to God. And he esteemed the things of God as greater riches than that what the world could give him. So by nature, both Jacob and Esau were sinners. Amen? But only one found favor with God. Outwardly, Esau was better behaved than Jacob. But yet God saw something in Jacob that Esau did not possess. He saw in Jacob a man who was attracted to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Jacob hungered for God's favor and blessing. Esau, on the other hand, despised his birthright. And the birthright was a place of privilege or possession to which a person is entitled by birth. So being the firstborn, he would have had a double portion, all right, of the inheritance and also a line in the messianic order. But he was a man of the flesh in type who only was concerned about this temporary life and temporary satisfaction. And he would fill himself up on temporary things, but he would neglect the more important matters, the will of God for his life. You see, Jacob was even willing to cheat to get that birthright, that entitlement. Keep in mind that this had already been previously prophesied to Isaac and Rebekah, the parents. In Genesis 25:21, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. We not see that happening today? Sons of Edom, sons of Esau, sons of Jacob. Now they're what? They're at each other's throat. In type, one represented the spirit, Jacob, and Esau, the man after the flesh, or worldly man. All right? Now, God is calling us, amen, to heaven. All right? We are to seek that which is above. We are to seek the Lord and his will above everything else. If we have a heart for God and a desire to do the will of God, God will reveal that to us. If we are hungry and thirsty to know him who is righteousness, amen, he will fill us with the knowledge of his will. God wants us to know our purpose in this world. And let me just give it to you in a nutshell. To be a representative of Jesus is our purpose. We represent him, amen? And as we abide in him, as we worship him, as we walk with him, as we rely upon him, his grace will be revealed through us to the watching world. It is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Who? God is working in us. He gives you that holy desire. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Lord, I always pray, Lord, make your will my desire. Make your will my desire. Now, I know sometimes we can look at this and say, well, God separating these two brothers, was God unfair when he said this? Not at all. Why? Because, again, God knows the hearts. Therefore, he judges according to the heart. And he saw that Esau was a man who despised his birthright. Again, he was preoccupied with temporary things, and that was where his treasure was. His treasure was in temporary things. All right? How many know that materialism can kill? It can destroy people. It can become an idol, a god, where we're just living to get more stuff, and they become wealthier. And how many know you can't take any of it with you when you go? Amen. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven, as you've heard it said. So God wants us to have treasure in heaven. Store for yourself treasure there. Amen. So if a person lightly esteems the things of God then they will receive from God accordingly. And again, Esau was interested in temporary worldly satisfaction. Jacob wanted the birthright. He wanted the eternal blessings and benefits of God. Esau chose the inferior over the superior. And you know what? God hates that attitude. We're warned about this same attitude in Hebrews 12 and verse 16. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. In other words, the world becomes your God, your pursuit. Hebrews 12:17, you know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. You see, God saw in Jacob a man who was willing to do anything, anything to receive his blessing. How many know that we need God to bless us? We should be desperate for God's blessing, for God's favor, amen? For God's touch, for God's presence, amen? Because if you have him, you have everything. Even though Jacob in the flesh had been a con artist, what happened is God changed his nature at Bethel, remember? He could no longer be a con man or supplanter, but a prince with God. He was an overcomer. And we know God can change anyone who truly desires change. And this is the problem, that men love darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. Some people will give lip service and say, yeah, I want to live right, I want to do the right thing. But in their heart, which God sees, they're still rooted, amen, in the flesh and in the world and the temporary things. And many people are even drowned in destruction and perdition, amen, because Jesus warned us about the seed, amen, that would be choked up by the cares and the riches of this world, amen, the seed that fell among the thorns. Be careful that your life is not choked by distractions that the enemy brings, even good things that can become a hindrance to you finishing your race well. But before there was ever a behavior change, there was first a heart that desired to know God and the things of God. And this is where it begins. So at Bethel, Jacob would not let the Lord go. Remember, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord until the break of day. All right. Genesis 32:24, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's what God wants to see. He wants that kind of desire. You ever been in love before? You know what I'm talking about? Desire. Can't get that person off your mind. All you're thinking about. Wanted to be with them. Can't wait to get back together with them. All right? Want to do everything to please that person. Come on. How many know we should love God more? So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. I'm a supplanter. This is what they named me. Con man. And he said, verse 28, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. He overcame. God calls every one of us to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil. And if you desire him and put him first, seek him above everything else, amen, his will above everything else, prioritize God in your life, he can bless you in this world, amen. But the world is not your home. You understand that. It's a temporary time that we have here. We're in preparation for eternity. And God wants us to think about heaven. Think about where we're going to spend eternity and with who we're going to spend eternity with. Amen? Don't compromise that for temporary things of this world. Amen? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. One of these days, we're going to take our last breath. Amen? And you cannot go back and redeem the time that has been lost. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, I'm standing up for Jesus. I have set my course. Amen. I'm going to do life together with my Lord from this point forward. Hallelujah. And I'm going to see Jesus in that day with a smile on his face and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. What God really hates is the attitude of those, hear this, who do not esteem his presence, power, or blessing as being worthy of their time and attention. In other words, there's too many other lovers, too many other gods, too many other things, too many idols. Somewhere God's in the picture, but he's not first. How many would agree with me that any relationship between a man and a woman, amen, where that woman is not the queen of your home and number one, amen, there would be a problem. All right? How many don't want your husband or your wife cheating on you? Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. So God does not want us, spiritually speaking, cheating on him. Because no one loves us like Jesus. No one loves us that much. No one cares more for us than he does. And no one suffered more for us than he did. And he deserves the glory. He deserves our best. To know the heart of someone who loves me that much is worth pursuing. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants to endue every one of us here in this room, all right, with spiritual gifts so that we may manifest his supernatural power. The world needs a demonstration, amen, brother,
amen,
of God's healing power. And God wants to show up. And he's going to show up where he's wanted. And if we have a hunger for him, when we worship and we pray and our hearts are open, we're saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I need you to bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just need to spend a little more time at the altar or praying through. Amen. Until you touch the hem of Jesus. Amen. Until you touch the heart of the Lord and you receive the grace you need to be revived, to be brought back to life again, to now your heart burns for him again, where now you see things through a different lens. Hallelujah. You're seeing things from heaven's perspective.
Yeah.
And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. How many know that our human abilities is insufficient for the mission we're called to, right?
Amen.
Now here, I want to quickly go to this. 1 Corinthians 14:1, we're called to do this. Pursue love, agape, and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We had some prophecy this morning, did we not? But we are to pursue love, and the word for love is what?
Agape.
And God is agape. We are to pursue him who is love and desire the grace that comes from him that empowers us, all right, to bring a demonstration of who he is into a world, amen, that is lost in darkness and sin. Let the light of Christ come and shine, amen, on the darkness. How many know that God has overcome, amen? Jesus has overcome, and he's given us the authority and the power to destroy the works of Satan, amen? And so we need to be a vessel for God, but you're not going to receive from God if you don't have a hunger for God. And if you don't have a hunger for God, you need to ask the question, what's taking the place of God in my heart? What's choking me? What do I esteem as greater value than him? You see, God hates that attitude because he is a jealous God in the sense that he loves us so much. He doesn't want us destroyed. He doesn't want us going after the things of this world and the devil. Amen. I'm talking about the evil. But even sometimes the good things that become too much of a good thing. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now hear it. It does not mean choose between the two. Well, you can choose spiritual gifts, I'll choose love. No, he says, pursue God, pursue love, and desire spiritual gifts. This pleases the Lord. Did you know that pleases the Lord? Now, if you wanted to give a gift to your children, all right, you would certainly hope that your child would think that gift is valuable. That's something desirable. That's something I want. Come on. You don't buy a gift and you say, they're not going to like this. You get a gift that you say, this is an awesome gift. Man, I can't wait till they see it, till they open the package and see what's inside. Come on. God wants us to have that same attitude towards the heavenly, the eternal things of God. Amen. And even his giftings, because his giftings are a blessing to us and to people. Because God wants to demonstrate his love in tangible ways. He doesn't always do things the way we want. Let's just admit it. Amen. But he's a perfect father and he's a loving father and he knows what's best. He doesn't always give his kids what they want, when they want it, how they want it. Otherwise, we would become spoiled and we wouldn't appreciate things. Moving right along, right? All of us are invited to come, all right? And share in the inheritance. The first step, of course, is we have to turn from sin. It's the first step. If you're not willing to do that, then nothing else is going to change. You need to be done with the world and flesh the devil. Say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And I want to live for Jesus. God sees the heart of the one who truly desires to know him and make him known. And you know what? God rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If there's something of value, you go out of your way to attain it. If there was a treasure on a patch of land somewhere, maybe an acre of land out here in Shelton, and somebody says there's a treasure buried in that lot, you say, man, really? Oh, how much? Oh, I'll tell you, it's infinite value. You can't put a price tag on it, but I can tell you it's there. I say, man, I'm mortgaging the house. I'm selling out here. I'm going to buy that property. Amen. Do you understand how that works? In other words, you're going to give up something for something superior, greater. So we may give up what your life may look like in this world, but what you're doing is you're exchanging that which is temporary for that which is eternal, of much greater value. You're giving up the inferior for the superior. You're living for eternity. Is this making sense today? God wants us to have that kind of attitude that we are his people, we're his bride, we're in preparation, he's making us beautiful, he's preparing us for eternity, and we need to be focusing on our mission while we're here, not only just to serve others, but to serve every purpose of God. Amen? Amen. And one of his purposes is that we be sanctified, that we be made holy. That we be pure. That means that we'll repent and renounce sinful ways. Amen. And come to Jesus that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed. Amen. And that we may receive that new heart. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I want to be holy like you. And I know only you can make me holy. You want to be a vessel for God? Let God clean you up. Let God clean the cup. Amen. You want a full cup? Let him clean you up. Be honest about yourself before God. If there are idols, if there are priorities that are not God in your life, be willing. All right, to forsake it. and get God back in his rightful place in your life again. Return to your first love. God wants us to be burning for him. God wants us to be overflowing for him. God wants us to be on fire for him. Amen. It's not something you go around and act like. It's something you are because you're consumed by the fire of God. The Holy Spirit of God is overwhelming you, and you're going to just be a diffuser for the Lord. Amen. In every place, because of the Spirit of God that's working in and through your life. This is what our heart's desire is that we bear fruit. How many want to bear fruit? You can't bear fruit if you don't worship the Lord. You won't bear fruit if you don't give him praise. You won't bear fruit unless you give your life totally to him and allow him to be Lord over your life. Amen. And start obeying his voice. I have never been disappointed when I've said yes to the Lord. I do regret the times when I did not listen. But never have I regretted listening to his voice. And doing what I had to deny that part of me that would rebel against what God's plan is for me. Because here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. We're only a moment. James said our life is a vapor. So quickly. How many know I'm talking about? A lot of gray hair in here this morning. And we look back. Or lack thereof. So we want to have a heart, a desire for God. How many here really want God number one in your life? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want to encourage you. You don't do this to be seen of men, of course. And you don't do it because you feel like you just are being manipulated to do this. But you do this because you truly in your heart, you want to live the rest of your life for Jesus Christ. You understood the message today. You know what God looks for in you. He's looking for someone who really wants him, who really desires him, who really wants him to be first in their life and wants to live their life fully for him. If that's your heart today, I want you to come. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If that's your heart, you want to fully live your life for Jesus. I want you to come up. Let's just spend some time here at the altar. Hallelujah. God sees your heart. Hallelujah. And God wants you to receive what he has for you today. Oh, Jesus. There's an anointing here. I want you to come. I want you to come to the water and drink. I want you just to say no to you and yes to God. There's a part of you that may feel embarrassed about being prayed for. You've got to deny that part of you. Because you need to have a great enough hunger that I don't care what people think. How many know the woman with the issue of blood got over the opinions of men? She no longer cared what people thought about her or even that her life would be in jeopardy. Amen. If she was in public, but she crawled her way to get to the hem of Jesus. Amen. To touch the hem of his garment because she was desperate for a touch from the Lord. Amen. We need to have a desperation and a hunger for God. For those who are hungry will be filled. Amen. So, let's just lift our hands. Everyone in this room, come on, let's just lift our hands. That's an international sign of surrender. We're going to surrender once again. We're going to yield once again. And also, when you lift your hands, you're saying, Lord, I'm lifting up my cup. And I want you to fill my life again. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you more than anything else. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. And I want you to fill my life with your presence. Lord, set me ablaze. Set me on fire for you. Hallelujah. Just praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give praise to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. As you praise him, he will fill your cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want your cup filled? Start praising the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Holy Spirit, captivate every heart and every mind in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, drive out the darkness and flood us with your divine light in Jesus' name. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Lord, drive them away. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.